it's not evil to think. I think what Christianity, we talked about this, Christianity gets, we swing back and forth, right? And part of, and I don't say this negatively, part of being human is that we can find ourselves get over here a little bit more than we need to, and we need to be corrected by the Holy Spirit, not in a negative way, but just like corrected in some of our thoughts. And so through different times in Christianity, that can happen. But what happens to people is we tend to swing from side to side, right? And we never actually compensate the right way. So at one time in Christianity, people may have been a little bit too intellectual, right? And then people decide intellectualism is bad. It's from the devil, right? And then people make it out like it's bad to think or it's bad to have understanding. No, it's not. Paul prayed that the eyes of our understanding would be open. So it's not bad to understand the gospel that we believe in. There's nothing wrong with that. And so out of rejecting intellectualism, because there's some people that were only trying to use their intellects and weren't living by the Spirit and letting the Spirit animate their intellects, now we've decided, well, it's bad to know or understand anything. And anytime someone wants to talk in understanding or wants to think critically about what we're believing or wants to contemplate it, now that's not good. Right? Because when somebody's doing that, I have to think and I don't like thinking. It doesn't feel good. I have to focus. I have to pay. Yes, George is right. It hurts your head sometimes. I was telling Becky yesterday that, you know, when the human brain tries to contemplate something that's paradoxical, it can seize up a little bit because our finite minds likes to think of things in boxes, right? It's this or it's that. We struggle to see how it can be both. And when it is both, it can hurt to try to think about how does it fit together, right? And even when I was using the word hypostatic union, what? Oh my God, the hypostatic union, what does that mean? And we actually have to think about that, right? And then that kind of hurts the brain. But we don't want to swing over here to this side of just emotionalism where we just want to come to church and if we heard nice songs and we got a goosebump and we think the preacher is very funny, he told great jokes and he's very articulate, he's very eloquent in speech and I like his performance, right? So therefore church is good. But then you leave and you never really understand anything about the gospel. You're just still stuck in your emotions, right? And from week to week, you're just tossed to and fro by whatever emotional state you're in. Right? And so we don't want to swing back and forth about those things. Nobody can get more fired up and evangelize a message than me. I can get riled up and start talking about the mercy of God, and you might feel like, yes, right? And there's nothing wrong with having that feeling, but hopefully you also went away with some knowledge of the truth that helps you experience that mercy during the week, right? And so what we're doing through this series with Jesus, who is Jesus? We're going to keep doing it and we're going to build a good foundation. You guys remember the scripture says, no other foundation can anybody build other than Christ Jesus. And so the stability we long for, the comfort for the affliction we experience, right? The peace, the patience, all the things we long for in life are actually found in the revelation of Christ Jesus. That's the foundation. And so it behooves us to actually spend some time considering that, considering the person of Jesus, contemplating it, letting the Holy Spirit catch us up. Jesus actually said the ministry of the Holy Spirit will take whatever things are His and show them to us. And so the Holy Spirit is given to help us see and consider and contemplate Christ Jesus, who is the God-man, who is God manifested in the flesh. That's why the Holy Spirit was given to us. Well, we've relegated the Holy Spirit to help us just speak in some foreign tongue. And there's nothing wrong with speaking in a tongue. We're not against that, but that's not the primary ministry of the Holy Spirit. Or we got the Holy Spirit so we can knock people over on the ground and put blankets on them and watch them twitch and stuff. And I don't say someone can't fall on the ground if they're delivered, but that's not the ministry of the Holy Spirit. So we've relegated the Holy Spirit to all these different things, never understanding what those gifts are actually meant to do. Those gifts that come from the Holy Spirit aren't about these things we've seen in modern Pentecostalism or the Assemblies of God. The ministry of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Truth, the Comforter, was actually given to us to help perfect our knowledge of the God-man, Christ Jesus. Because in coming to the place where we see the God, man, we see God manifested, the Word made flesh in the person of Jesus Christ, that ministers to our humanity. And that's what we need as we walk in this world. We need a ministry to our humanity. And the ministry that's going to come to our humanity can only come from God manifested inside of humanity. That's the only way it can happen. So we're going to keep going through this, and we'll just pray real quick. Thank you, Father, for pouring out the Comforter, the Spirit of Truth. Holy Spirit, we know you've come to take whatever things are shown in Jesus, whatever things that are Jesus's, and give them to us. We know that all things that the Father has are Jesus's. We know that you've come to show us all things that Jesus has. Holy Spirit, open all of our lives. Let everyone in this place, everyone that hears this message, let them see clearly the things they've been given in Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Glory to God. So we're in the middle of doing this series about who is Jesus. The theological world would call it Christology. I remember, I think Prince's last record was musicology, Christology. And so we're in the middle of talking about Christology, which is the study of the person or the being of Christ Jesus, right? And we're also talking about the economy of Jesus, the economy of the Son of God, which is the work of the Son of God, what he's done. We're in the middle of talking about that. I think, well, next week, I guess that all got upended. We won't do that. Next week, I was thinking that we would talk about the prophecies about the Messiah and how actually the only one who meets the qualification to actually be Messiah is God when you look at the prophecies. And I thought we would look at that, but we'll do group talk. And so maybe the next week we'll do that. As we keep going on, we'll get into the Godhead. We'll get into the Father, Son, and Spirit. We'll get into maybe the ministry of the Holy Spirit, which they call pneumatology, the study of the person of the Holy Spirit. Some of these people are writing in and they like these words, pneumatology. So you have Christology, the study of the person of Christ Jesus, the study of his being. You have pneumatology, which is the study of the Holy Spirit. In case you guys didn't know, the Holy Spirit is also Lord. The Holy Spirit is also God. Right? Just as we say that Jesus is light from light, true God from true God, the Holy Spirit is also light from light, true God from true God. And then from there, we'll get into looking at the gifts of the Spirit and looking at them in their proper foundation. But we left off last week talking about the crucified God and how only the blood of the God-man, only the blood of a man who is by nature immortal can suffice for the sanctifying of our flesh, right? And we talk about our flesh being sanctified, because what does it mean that our flesh is sanctified? And that's why I say it's not bad to understand. When we talk about our flesh, our bodies, our humanity being sanctified, they're set apart for deification. Okay, deification is for you to become as God, not that you become God himself, but Genesis talked about, let us make man in our image after our likeness. Okay, so deification would be us being made manifested in the likeness of God. Not that we become the creator, not that we are the creator, but that we are deified with the nature of the Creator. We partake with the Creator in the divine nature, right? And so we're looking at only the blood of the God-man, only the blood of a man who is by nature immortal, only that blood being poured out is sufficient for the sanctifying of our flesh unto deification. There's no other blood that could do it. Couldn't be any other human. Right? We can't be redeemed by corruptible things. Every other human is a corruptible thing because we're a creature. So it had to be a human who wasn't just a mere human. They had to be the creator. That's what we looked at last week. And like, you know, George and I were talking about this, and he had a good question. It wasn't really a question. It was just we were talking about clarification. And as we talk about some of these things, because they're paradoxical, it could cause you to have different thoughts. Come with your questions. That will help make it more clear, right? Because paradoxical things, you know what a paradoxical thing will do to you? You'll read one part of it, and you think you understand it, and then you read the other part of it, and you think it undid everything you thought you just understood. And it's like, what? How do they fit? That's why it's called a paradox. You know, like it talks about Jesus enduring contradiction against himself, right? Well, he's the Lord of glory. He's the creator of the universe. God, the only immortal. He's immortal, right? He said, I am the resurrection and the life. He didn't say, I need resurrection life. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. Well, how can the resurrection and the life be nailed to a cross and die? Can eternal life die? Well, immediately your brain would think, well, no, how can it be eternal if it can die? Well, now you got a paradox, because the one who is eternal life was nailed to a pole and died. And so George and I were talking about this in the men's Bible study. But the way you would look at this is God in his own humanity suffered. Okay? The humanity part is the key. God in his own humanity suffered. God in his own humanity, I'm saying his own humanity because it's not a humanity that's separated from his person. It's not a humanity that exists over here outside of his divinity. That's why we talk about the hypostatic union, right? God in his own humanity, not a humanity separate from his person, was put to death in the flesh. That's why the scriptures talk about being put to death in the flesh. God was put to death in the flesh, in his humanity. He was put to death in the flesh. And this is the paradox part. While at the exact same time, his divinity was still holding all things together. You understand that Jesus holds all things together by the power of his word? There's never a time when he isn't holding all things together by the power of his word. He's holding all things together right now by the power of his word. He was holding all things together by the power of his word when he created everything. And even when that word assumed human form and that word was nailed to a pole, was crucified, and his body broke and his blood was pouring out, in his humanity, he suffered death. But even while his humanity was suffering death, that word that's eternal was still holding all things together by the power of his divinity. And that's where the paradoxical thing comes in. So the word, when it says the word, you guys know we're talking about Jesus. In the beginning was the word. The word remained by nature immortal even as he was being put to death in the flesh. We understand that? And so what we can say is the Son of God, the fullness of deity, that's who, the co-equal, self-same substance, the Son of God, the fullness of deity, not a lesser form of God, the fullness of deity inside of human flesh, he has suffered and died on a cross. But only the part of him that can die, his humanity. Okay? We can also say, so that's the one side of it. We can also say that through the second person